You're listening to Digitally Enabled, the human stories behind branding. This is the place to gain greater insight into the human side of brand governance. Join Greg Silverman as he sits down with branding experts sharing real-life stories of how they face digital issues along their journey. Learn how others are dealing with maximizing the power of today's technology and get valuable advice straight from your peers. Here's your host, Greg Silverman.
Welcome back to Digitally Enabled. Greg Silverman here today. Thanks for tuning in again. I'm joined today by Jamie Moldovsky from Nielsen. Jamie, say hello to the gang.
Hi, gang. It's great to be here. And Greg, thank you so much for inviting me to join you today.
Yeah, it's really great to start building up some community and discussion around digitally enabling brands and the problems that people are having. And Jamie, you've been through a big transition recently. You are and kind of what you've worked on and maybe even where you came from, because there's a lot going on for you.
I get the honor of leading communications and marketing at Nielsen. And Nielsen, as some of you may know, is a 100-year-old plus company, first and best known as a media, as a TV ratings company, actually. That was kind of our heritage. But as we'll talk about, much more than that. And really, that was the challenge coming into the organization is we are a 100-year-old company, but in a very new and relevant role within the media industry. And part of our company, Nielsen IQ. And as a result, after that, are singularly focused on the media industry, both the advertising and content ecosystems. And as such, really needed to reposition the company and tell our story about who Nielsen serves, how we serve those communities, and really the breadth and depth of offerings that most of our market did not really know about.
That's okay. Yeah, because people think of the TV ratings, but you have so many more platforms and measurement systems that became integrated. And now there's a story. So you're splitting the company in two parts, and then they call you up and say, hey, rebrand us. Tell us a little bit about how that process went and how did it influence the way in which you thought about it digitally?
Yeah, absolutely. My background was I have always been kind of a marketer at leading brands that have gone through American Express, Schwab, or Whirlpool, and most recently. And so I love working for established brands, but often in need of a turnaround or transformation or refreshing. And so when I came into the company, the problem statement, if you will, was people really don't know who we are. And so we really went through a four-step process. One was just getting very comfortable with who are we and how are we perceived, right? And so step number one was to get that outside in data on how we're perceived, right? Do the market research for what do people think of us? What do they know about us? Step two was really to make sure that we knew who we were. And so the first step we did was create a purpose statement. Our purpose is better media future for all people, right? Very powerful statement, but really to ground ourselves in who are we? So that when we then tell our story through our actions and our words, we're always coming back to our DNA and what makes us different. Third piece was to make sure we were actually doing the work. So how are we transforming? What were the capabilities? As you said, we really company. We provide metadata for the content world through our company called Gracenote. We provide a tremendous number of impact solutions, which include ROI measurement, multi-touch attribution, media mix modeling for the advertising and agency world. So we have a very robust set of offerings that people didn't know. And they're streaming first. They're digital. And no one thought of us as digital. They thought of us as linear. So all of those things, we were fun of our product offerings, our go-to-market strategy. And then we could tell about it. So step four was really the actual rebranding, which, as you know, most important to actually tell the story once the story is already in the market and happening. So people are touching and feeling us and experiencing us differently. And then the last step was really the rebranding, which was changing our visual identity, changing out all of our digital assets. We are overly indexed on social media and our interaction on our website. That's where people engage with us. Was to make sure that we had an identity that was appropriate for the digital world, digital first, made sure the website was kind of the first step.
I love what you said. We have a purpose because you're kind of explaining yourself to yourself, which you have to do before you can explain yourself to others. And being a longtime customer and a user of Nielsen assets and ideas, I think that's a really important piece. And I think it is also very interesting how you discussed how people use the brand, right? Digital first, people who are looking for information. So they're probably a lot of self-qualifying B2B brand folk who look for information. How did you kind of understand that journey, right? You had the brand, you knew the process, but that probably had to go one deep level deeper to start figure out personas and need states.
together, when I came into the organization, while we did have some marketing capabilities, I wouldn't say we were a marketing and communications driven organization. And as our CEO came in and really shifted to more of a product and innovation focus, it becomes increasingly important, right, that you have a really strong and robust marketing communications set of capabilities. So we also built those capabilities out. And we started with, as you said, personas, target audiences, segmenting our audiences, really digging into exactly who are we talking to, what are their needs. And Nielsen sits on really an unprecedented amount of information and data, right? We really sit on kind of this treasure trove of data, and we bring that analytic horsepower to our clients, but we sometimes hadn't always leveraged it for the market at large. And so what you'll start to see coming out of us is much more thought leadership. I mean, great example where we launched an annual marketing report globally for the first time, and we've had tens of thousands of downloads of this report.
People want information, they want
to access it digitally. Thought leaders in the marketplace who have access to that kind of information. And Nielsen was simply tying together those pieces. Like, we had the opportunity through our brand to step up and say, hey, guess what? We can provide you with some really powerful data and insights to help you make better decisions. And what we're now seeing is, obviously, we've done way more test and learn. We're measuring our own marketing efforts. We stood up our own marketing tech stack, are getting much more sophisticated now about what moves the needle, both from a brand standpoint, as well as from kind of the lower funnel lead generation, revenue generation.
And that's always a tremendous amount of tension. What's brand? What's lower part of the funnel? And for me, I'm glad to hear y'all are claiming the authority you had, right? I mean, you really have all the data and have the broadest set of experiences. So you got the personas, you got a plan, you're starting to build this thing. Okay, so what happened? How hard was it?
We're the bottom line. It is hard. Well, it is hard, as you know. It's easy to kind of put the assets out there. It's hard to really change perceptions, right? And so again, that's why I go back to, one is making sure that everything you do is anchored in a purpose. And you and I chatted briefly about this, that moments happen all the time where you can make or break your brand, right? And make or break your reputation. And knowing who you are and what you stand for is so important. So how Media Future for All People rests on this premise that Nielsen actually ultimately serves the audience, and that we are the most representative data provider out there, which is that we make sure everybody in the audience gets represented so they ultimately get a better experience. And that helps our clients and that helps the end consumer. And so the hardest part, to your point, has been keeping to come back to that thread, right? Is like ground ourselves in our purpose, make sure that as we continue to launch products, launch capabilities, bring on new clients, we are rapidly expanding from serving. We serve all aspects of the industry, from publishers to content creators to advertisers and agencies, that for each of them, that we continue to reinforce our purpose and we bring our unique capabilities, particularly around representative measurement, but that we are showing up in a different way. And more important than telling them is showing them, right? And so that everything we do becomes more consultative, where we bring in,
say, like, I'm most excited about
some of the products we bring to market. Like, we have something called Inclusion Analytics, which is all about showing representative or not media is today. And what we found is, through products like that, people are saying, wow, Nielsen is different than I thought. It's not just telling me what the ratings are. It's actually telling me, like, as my investment, reaching the right people the right way, which is very powerful in today's world. Inclusion.
Yeah, you guys have this huge impact, maybe even responsibility, because TV sets a currency for every other currency, right? Because people measure it relative. And now it sounds like you're evolving into, hey, and now we can tell you how effective it's being for particular audiences. That had to be a bit of a cultural shift for the brand to affect, right? Because you have these wonderfully talented analytics folks, but now they have to think in terms of purpose. Can you give us a little color on that?
Absolutely. It's a great point, because a core part of our brand transformation and our business transformation is the cultural transformation. And really what Nielsen has embarked on is all three of those, right? Clearly the brand and the company is transforming because we are serving a streaming first world, right? So it's as, and we have a report called The Gauge. And what The Gauge tells us is how much time our consumers, just 24 hours a day on streaming versus linear, right? Where are they watching? What are they watching? And that's so powerful. And certainly during COVID, all of that changed and accelerated. So really importantly, we're doing that. But to your point about cultural transformation, it's that growth mindset. The most important thing is that growth mindset, which is, we need not only to adapt to the changing world, but anticipate it, right? So thinking two steps ahead, we're not only where are consumers today, so we can act, where are they going?
what's the next thing on the horizon? Where is gaming taking us? Where are podcasts going, right? The great example, we measure podcasts, right? We measure everywhere the consumer is, because ultimately, and we're bringing this together through something called Nielsen One, which is really the transformation of our measurement platform, which really says, where did Greg spend his time and what was most effective in reaching him and on what device? So it's, where do you spend your time? How are you spending time on what? And then what actions did you take as a result of that? But that's the holy grail, right, for marketers. Because today marketers say, well, my walled gardens tell me this is what's working. My network partners tell me this is what's working. Everyone's giving me their own version of the truth, which are not inaccurate. But now with Nielsen One, we actually can give them a cross-platform view of what the consumer's doing. And all of us want some sort of a holistic, objective, unbiased view of the world, because increasingly much more bifurcated and people are getting like much more forced into looking at only one piece of it. And our goal has to be to look holistically. But to your point, that's challenging for a data science team who's used to looking at a piece. Like they also needed to transform and say, our expertise now is in deduplication, not just in measurement of a particular channel.
Yeah, that's great. My second to last question, what haven't I asked you about this transformation that you think would be beneficial for our audience to hear?
I think you didn't ask it, but I know you know it. And it was a little bit of the culture question, which is maybe it's more that what are the pitfalls of rebranding or of a brand transformation? And I think it's back to this point that it has to be internal. It has to start with the company itself. And I think sometimes people think that a new logo or a new brand campaign or just going out and supporting different social causes. Right now, obviously, there's a lot of social issues, positioning, purpose. Those are all critically important, but it all has to start with the DNA of the company and knowing who you are. Every employee has to be the brand, right? Representative, brand steward. And I think that's where brands can go wrong, because then what happens is at some point, an experience contradicts your brand statements. And so to me, it was most critical. It was an inside out transformation versus an outside in. And I think the key was that partners see us as being different versus hear us only as being different.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's probably never done, that part of it, right?
It's a hard thing to do. And you want to wait, right? It's this challenge of, it's easier to go out and do the nice window dressing. But I was so happy because when I joined Nielsen, the hardest work about our DNA, our product offerings, that work had already been done. So I got as opposed to ahead of what we were actually doing.
Yeah, and you had things you could deliver against it as well, right? It's always better when the assets line up to the promise. Last question, Jamie, you get to use one word. What word would you pick to represent how you feel or think about digitally enabling brands? What's the word and why?
Powerful.
Great.
Right? Because I think it is a digital world that we live in today. And I think increasingly, when you think about the lasting impacts of COVID and is retail still playing the role it does in helping people see your brand and experience your brand, there's sort of limitless potential in the digital world on brand exposure, right? There's so many out there, but it is so important that the brand is experienced the way the consumer is interacting, which is digital. Right. And so being a digital enabled brand, it's important for the experience. It's important for the storytelling, for the narrative, everything we do. And I think what the big shift is, I saw even as recently as 5 years ago, people started with the TV ad or the radio ad or the. And I think today people start with the idea that if you can't tell somebody something in 6 seconds, maybe it's you're not telling them the right thing. And so the thinking has really changed for a brand. I think that's critical and exciting and powerful.
Jamie, thanks for being on Digitally Enabled. So thankful you had the time to be here. Folks in the audience, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Digitally Enabled. Greg Silverman, signing off.
That's all for today's episode. We hope these insights from top brand managers help you as you face your own digital roadblocks. Remember that you're not alone in the challenges you face. If you would like to further connect with fellow elite brand managers, join the Beam community by sending an email to gsilverman@monogle.com. Thank you for joining us. See you on the next one.